gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm always startled to see Jim here. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Yeah, I have another in for something for jimsexcuses.com.
Yes.
Oh, I could not find my keys this morning.
Uh-huh.
I had to use the extra key for my car, but the battery's dead in the remote part, so I actually had to put the key in the door and turn the lock to get into
wow.
my car.
What?
I haven't done that since 1987, I think.
Do you still do that? Wow.
Yeah,
that
I'm amazed.
Still
it
works?
Actually works.
Yeah, I have no idea if I even have a hold for the
key
wow.
thing.
Yeah.
For the, yeah. Thing that's
huh.
usually in the chore.
Probably to check that in case my battery goes out in my
and
key.
Yeah.
Not since my Dodge Dart in 1979 have I really. You lose the batteries, you're usually screwed. That's it. Your life is over. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. A big show. Today, Charlie Pierce, our usual Tuesday pal, mm-hmm. and David Schuster of Current TV. Love us some Current TV.
Yep.
The most interesting man in the world joins us in just a bit. It's Crackerland primary day, as you know.
Yee-wee.
Alabama, Mississippi.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Nova writes, can't wait for you to join our favorite TV channel anymore. Hurry home, sister, to Current. Got a nice email from Chen, who they did the little VOs for our Welcome to Current montage.
Oh, yeah, the one that Shino put together.
All right, which I think is coming up soon. The soft launch I'm hearing March 26th, is that what you're...
Is that a soft launch? I thought that was a hard launch.
That's a hard launch.
Because I know we're doing rehearsals next week to work out all the technical bugs and
I
stuff.
I hope I get it. Oh, I already got it?
Yeah,
okay.
I get it.
All right.
Do the high kick. Come on.
We need to get some choreography.
I guess we're going to have to stretch.
Before. I hope I get it. How many people does he need?
Apparently three. That's how many people he needs.
I have an idea for the first day. I don't know if it'll happen.
What?
But I want Al Gore to call in to welcome us, and then Jim Ward can interview Al Gore as Al Gore.
Hi, Al. This is Al. I was wondering, what were you thinking when you decided to put Stephanie on television? Remember the sweat stains? Yeah, not pretty.
No.
I don't.
Okay.
You know.
See? Hilarity ensues, am I
sure.
right?
Sure, yeah.
Not since Harry Shearer has called in for his last Tom Brokaw off with Jim.
Live from Hammer.
Exactly.
Although Al Gore has significant power, so jailarity may ensue.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
all right.
True.
Kids, sexy liberalness. Beth from Albuquerque writes, Stephanie Luke's Roland. I'll be passing out these cards on March 31st at Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque. We need Stephanie Miller support group here in Albuquerque. Oh, it's Attention Steph Heads. wouldn't you rather share a box of wine with people who share your sense of humor? Let's get together. It's these Steph meetups, meet
sure.
and greets, you know.
Yeah.
And Roland tells me sexy liberal or Steph Head t-shirts will be available today on sexyliberal.com. So stay tuned.
Is that a hard launch?
You know what? Nothing's ever a hard launch around me. It's always people lie to me and then I
everything's
just,
soft around you.
Yes, exactly. Excuse me? Mark in Dallas about the transvaginal exams.
Yes.
Writes, Steph, I hereby suggest any legislation with mandates transvaginal exams be called a bildo. Mark's the funniest voice, guy. Speaking of which, there's a number of female legislators I've got to put on my future wives list because it's hilarious, and these bills that are being proposed, and yet it points out the unbelievable misogyny and the unfairness of these bills. And Ohio State Senator...
Of course you bitches would say that. What we want is a Transylvanian vaginal exam. Yes, good.
That's very different.
Yes.
Yes.
Slut to you. Okay. An Ohio State Senator is turning the tables on men seeking to regulate women's access to reproductive health. Senator Nina Turner, Democrat of Cleveland. Did you
Gina
see this?
Turner?
No,
oh.
Nina Turner.
Nina Turner. She is not your private dancer.
Yes.
Rahul.
Has introduced legislation regulating men's access to erectile dysfunction drugs. Let's see, these are the fun facts on this one.
Okay.
Before getting a prescription for Viagra or other erectile dysfunction drugs, men would have to see a sex therapist, receive a cardiac stress test, and get a notarized affidavit signed by a sexual partner affirming impotency. Turner's bill tracks FDA guidelines, which recommends doctors determine whether the root cause of men's sexual dysfunction is physical or psychological. So only fair to get all up in his business, don't you think?
Well, sure. Your prostate exam.
Yeah.
You'll see what's going on up in there.
She describes her bill as an effort to legislate it the same way mostly men say they want to legislate a woman's womb. There have been similar efforts in other states. An Illinois bill would require men to watch a horrific video on the side effects of Viagra. I'm guessing that four-hour one.
That's not so horrific, actually.
That you have to go see your doctor.
You have to go call all your friends and brag.
Yeah, in a car with a moonroof, presumably.
Well, isn't also one of the side effects blue vision?
Yeah. Right? The whole Avatar, 24-7.
Yeah, right? It's Smurf vision.
Everyone looks like a Smurf.
Sure.
In Virginia, Senator Janet Howell submitted a bill.
So it kind of has the opposite effect.
That'll take care of the four-hour
correction.
She submitted a bill requiring men to undergo a digital rectal exam before receiving a prescription for erectile dysfunction. I say you go, girls.
Anyway, periodically. Yeah.
It's just for fun? As part of an actual doctor's checkup. In a completely unrelated story.
Well, if
it's
a female doctor, it could be fun. Unless she had nails, which would be bad.
Democrats leading Republicans by 25 points among women.
Yep.
Shocking.
A Washington Post survey released Monday found Democrats perceived as caring more about issues that are important to women by 25 points, 55% to 30%. The poll also showed a large majority of all voters support the idea that businesses should be required to cover the full cost of contraception for female employees. Among all voters, 61% support a mandate for birth control.
Sounds like a mandate. Or a woman date.
Yeah, exactly.
Some kind of date.
Carl in Nashville, Tennessee on primary day. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Steph. Hold on just 1 minute. Jolene, will you keep down them halls for me? I'm on the phone here. Good morning, y'all. I just got to eating me some cheese and grits and some catfish biscuits.
Yeah, sure you did.
You know what, man? What a bunch of Dixie chicks those guys are.
Dixie chicks.
Unbelievable the pandering to the lore element, to the ignorance of the South, the racism in the South, that these guys were stooped down so low that they, you know, it is so transparent. I mean, I got Ken Folk in the South, Rick Santorum, I got Ken. Did you see did you see Mitt Romney with his jeans and his checkered shirt?
Oh, I know.
I love Hush Puppies. I'm wearing them now.
Just when you thought he couldn't get more awkward. Yeah, this is that's the headline. Romney's Southern accents hit or miss.
Yeah, it's
wealthy New Englander Mitt Romney trying to woo Southern voters with a mix of regional references and sometimes show self-deprecating humor. He probably has like an actual book on self-deprecating humor.
I'll be using self-deprecating humor. So watch for that.
And sometimes are just plain awkward. Oh, how weird that there's an article with the word awkward about Mitt Romney. So odd. Romney seems torn. I love this, the way they describe this. He's flip-flopping on it. He can't even decide like how to play it. Romney seems torn between trying to be a full-bore Southerner or acknowledging his outsider status. So he's kind of straddling. He can't even find a position on that.
I've got
so
one foot on either side of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, he probably flip-flops on, hourly on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In Mobile, on Monday, he talked of eating catfish and hunting as he campaigned alongside Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, I love
just
hunting catfish.
That whole sentence awkward before you even see it.
I might be a redneck if I don't know. I don't know how I would be one.
Somebody did it.
I was in the sun for a long time, which I wouldn't be.
I think Progress did a great Mitt Romney might not be a redneck.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically, hang on a second. If your wife drives a couple of Cadillacs, you might not be a redneck.
Right.
If you think $374,000 in speaking fees not very much money, might not be a redneck. Yeah.
No.
Your tax return is 203 pages long. If you think that it's a problem that billionaires aren't allowed to give you all the money they want, might not be a redneck.
Aha.
If your earliest memories include looking down on the people of New York from a helipad with your CEO father, maybe not. If you think cheesy grits from a Hilton hotel is down-home Southern cooking, maybe not so much. If you only hunt small varmints, if you will, might not be a redneck. If you help your son set up a business by fronting him $10 million, might not be a redneck.
No.
If the business is named after the place where your ski mansion is located, might not be running. I'm just getting warmed up. We have many more for the Crackerland.
Wait, whose business? Bain Capital is named after the place where his...
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Ski mansion's not a big deal in the Deep South.
Like,
No. Might have a ski shack or two somewhere. Perhaps
not
a ski mansion.
There's not really much skiing.
No.
Not in Alabama.
Alabama.
No. Yeah. So he, where do you even
guy's
start?
Guy's named Skeeter? Yeah.
As is often the case, Romney showed an engaging side and stiffness almost at the same time.
That's hard to do. Account. That is hard to do.
He has an engaging stiffness.
When the crowd sang happy birthday, it was his birthday yesterday. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
He exclaimed, that's a fine Alabama good morning.
Oh, boy.
No.
As if such greetings are somehow different in other states. He moments later, he said he hoped to go hunting with a friend who can actually show me which end of the rifle to point. See, that was my that was my effort at self-deprecating humor.
Self-deprecating humor.
See how self-aware I am? Mm.
Oh.
Oh boy. Do they even need to write these stories? Romney sometimes has struggled to connect with Southern Republicans. Do you think?
A little bit.
And they mention his NASCAR gaffe that he knows people that owns NASCAR. Yeah. He greeted voters in Jackson, Mississippi last week with a hearty morning, y'all.
Ooh.
Oh boy. That's he's just dropping the G's left and right. They're just falling.
I'm dropping G's where they belong, as in good morning.
Mm. I had missed this one. In Birmingham, Alabama, he was endorsed by Randy Owen of the country band Alabama. Yeah. Romney raised eyebrows, though, when he asked Owen to sing a few lines of Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
No.
The rival band, Leonard Skinner. Anybody knows that. Sweet Home Alabama. Alabama didn't sing that. Mittens.
I love your hit, Southern Man.
Oh,
what? No?
Mittens.
You are an idiot.
That hurts my heart.
Oh.
Oh, bless your heart.
That hurts my heart.
That hurts my heart.
Southern Man don't need Mitt Romney around anyhow.
No. We have to play Sweet Home Mittens again, in honor of Mittens today in his latest gaffe. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Popcorn like Wasilla.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Dave in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
I've been hearing a lot of talk about setting up counter bills about Viagra, and I think that's all fine and good. But I think a more direct comparison would be like men having vasectomies. I had a vasectomy myself. My wife and I, we tried the birth control thing, and consequentially, I had the two greatest surprises of my life.
Oh dear.
And I also have a theory about kids outnumbering parents. And so I went with my insurance. I went and paid my premiums on time, and I went to with an outpatient visit for $30. The only regret I have is that I didn't shave myself before I went.
Yeah.
And it was a bag of peas for a few days, and I was good to go.
Right.
But that's really dealing with the birth. That's birth control.
Yep.
So,
Dave, my point is, I know that I think it was Hannity that said, oh, well, that's erectile dysfunction. That's a medical problem. Well, women use birth control for a lot of medical problems that are not, birth control related.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point about people getting in your private medical business, right?
That's right.
Well,
I absolutely agree. You know, leave your private parts private. That's why they call them that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that I wasn't endorsing the no-no hair removal system before you shaved yourself and required a bag of peas.
I don't know if I would have tried that or not. But,
yeah.
I do enjoy the commercials, get a good laugh out of that, too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Well, it's never going to be entirely analogous because we don't carry the child.
Right.
That's
right.
So
No, but my point is...
Apples and oranges.
But
nah,
we keep saying it over and over.
Right.
Jim, there are, it's, you know, ovarian cysts and, you know, right. endometriosis and right. all kinds of stuff.
And,
that,
and legislators keep forcing all of these really, really invasive procedures upon women for absolutely no reason at all.
Well, the reason is they want to shame them into not having an abortion.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, look, and so just admit it.
But that's not the reason they're saying. They're saying it's for the woman's health. But no, it's to shame the women.
Medically unnecessary.
Absolutely.
We had another one yesterday I hadn't even thought of, a mother of a developmentally disabled girl who said, you know, she's not able to change her own pads, and so they put, you know, girls like that on birth. She's 14. They put them on birth control. It's just, you know, I think she literally said, you know, hey, Rush, you want to come change the pads? Then otherwise, shut up about our private medical decisions.
Men don't want to get in your pads.
No.
Let me just tell you that right now.
Used ones?
iPads. No.
You can't even see them on the back of the toilet clean.
No, not at all.
Yikes.
I've had to go shopping for... female.
Yeah, but those are still clean.
That's
you never want to see a used one.
That's because you're liberal and you're man enough. All right. Mitt Romney in Alabama.
Thanks to you for giving me this birthday present. I'm hoping to unwrap it tomorrow.
Get it, because the vote is tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was saying yesterday, though.
Right.
Hey, looky here, out of Crackerland. Plurality of Republican voters in Mississippi and Alabama think Obama is Muslim. A new PPP poll finds a plurality of Republicans in both states think the president is Muslim. More than half of Republican voters in Mississippi say they held an incorrect view, while 45% of Alabama Republicans hold that view. Just 12 and 14% respectively correctly identified Obama as Christian.
And 100% have no idea what Muslim means.
Meanwhile, the same poll found 2/3 of Alabama Republicans believe interracial marriage should be legal.
Huh.
Combined with 54% of Mississippi Republicans. Yeah. In fact, we're still asking those questions in the South. It's like, okay. It's already been legal for how long? But we just wondered what you think about it.
In Alabama, it's only been legal since, I think,
last week?
No, I think actually like 2000.
I've seen that Alexandra Pelosi bit from... Bill Maher's show played again, and that is just terrifying, isn't it?
No.
I don't know why. Chris, I disagree with you that you think she said literally there are 20 people I cut out of this that sound and look just like the other people, because I knew she knew that people were going to say that oh, you're being a snooty liberal.
Well, but
she said they look and sound exactly the same way. She
there's
wasn't
a commercial for national health, single payer health care right there, especially dental plan. Holy.
Randy Rhodes said yesterday he didn't really have a tooth. He just had a tusk. He just had one. Just one.
He's a narwhal.
Exactly. There goes the narwhal. But I mean, it was terrifying. It's, you know, and I love they all say to a person, it's not that he's black. With that one guy, he's a half-breed.
That's
what it is.
Sure.
He's a half-breed. It was like some sort of Cher song on crack. It was just... That's what it is. I can't even look at him on the, and you know it's because he's black. It's, oh, please. Anyway, yeah, they literally, people in there said he's a Muslim. But, you know, Chris, this poll shows exactly what you saw. And that, I don't think the video was biased. She went and turned the camera on. And she asked a bunch of questions.
I'm the only one here that's lived in the South. That was a stereotype.
Okay, so you know what? I will ask her for the 20 outtakes, and we'll play those as well.
I want to know where she went to get these.
She went to Alabama and Mississippi. 29 minutes after the hour.
Stephanie Miller.
No, you know where to find the boys and the boobs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, look, Jim, it's as rare as a narwhal. It's someone that agrees
narwhal.
With, yeah. Someone that agrees with Chris.
A narwhal doesn't exist, so that's really rare.
Yeah.
Jeannie in Reno.
Hi.
Hello, it's one of the very rare Chris's right calls. Hello, Jeannie.
I'm not a right caller. You know what? I want to defend Chris, because I'm from the South, and I have all of my teeth, and I have a college education.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm a nurse practitioner, as a matter of fact. You know, and we're not that rare down
right.
there.
That video was kind of a coastal liberal's stereotype of what they think
she
a Southerner is.
She went and turned the camera on. Jeannie, where are you from?
I'm from Lexington, Kentucky originally, you know, and I lived there all my life. And, you know, maybe she should have gone to Lexington or something because some of those people have teeth there, you know.
Well, you know, Hal Sparks is from Kentucky, and he does some of the funniest material on what it's
really
like where he lives,
too.
Where
so,
he grew up.
Stereotype people from the South, you know?
Well, you know, Jeannie, I was going to say, my family lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, also in Lynchburg, Virginia, and so I've spent a fair amount of time in the South, but again, I think you can't just also broad brush the South. I think Mississippi is different. I think places where, you know, she went in Mississippi, I think are probably different, right?
Well, where she went in Mississippi is obviously different. And
she didn't say where she went in Mississippi. She could have just gone to one neighborhood where there are a bunch of crackers.
She could have gone to Reno, Nevada, in certain places.
Right. There are people like that all over the place. You can't just.
Right, but Jeannie, my point is that you read that poll I just read, right? I mean, so that the point is, this is not atypical. A majority of people in the South, in where they did those polls in Alabama and Mississippi, think the president's Muslim.
A majority of Republicans.
Well,
right, that's who she interviewed.
A majority of Republicans. That's the thing. And yeah, there are a lot of Republicans down there.
But there are also quite a few Democrats that are fighting against these Republicans.
There are, you know.
But Jeannie, she interviewed Republicans. That was the point. She was interviewing people that were going to be voting in the Tuesday Alabama and Mississippi.
Well, you know, I'm betting there's even some Republicans down there that don't look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a single one of those in her video.
Right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of my sisters is Republican. She doesn't look like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a horrible stereotype of what liberals on the coasts think Mississippi is like.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
What, you don't believe her that there were 20 people that cut out?
I'm sure there were.
I bet you there was 200 people that didn't look like that, and she selected those kind of people
right.
out.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
You and Chris are down with the liberal conspiracy.
No. Right. I'm just sick of the liberal coastal people's stereotype of what they think the South is like. I've lived in the South.
I was scared by the people in that video that are, and I'm just saying because somebody, I was reading a analysis. First of all, it's like dead heat in both of those for all three Republican candidates, but they were literally saying it does not matter who they nominate.
Mm-hmm.
Obama will lose by a landslide in all of those states.
Right.
And it's because those are the kind of people that vote there, is all I'm saying. I mean, one guy said, what did he say? Well, because his name's Obama. That's why. So,
huh?
Okay. Fair enough. The president should be American.
And you can find people like that in upstate New York as well.
Mm-hmm. Indeed you can. I'm from there. Destiny
mm-hmm.
in Jackson, Mississippi. Hello, Destiny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love your show. I listen every single day.
Thank you.
I'm really nervous and really excited. This morning. I just feel like we're not all like that.
Right.
It's just, they went to, like, the Delta. They went to where they could find, like, the stupidest people.
They went to the really poor areas.
Right, and it's frustrating because, like, whenever I go somewhere, I'm not originally from Mississippi.
Right.
So I have, like, I grew up overseas. My dad was in the military, so I have lots of different experiences. And I was scared to come here initially when I was a teenager, but we're just, not everybody's like that. Like, when you go to the Delta, you'll
right.
see those people with no
mm-hmm.
teeth and the rebel flags everywhere and they hate Obama. But I live in Jackson in a neighborhood that's, like, pretty liberal. You know, people are organizing. I mean, I saw some kids out on the corner the other day waving pride flags. So.
Right.
Well, Destiny, I don't think anybody is saying everyone is like that. But, Chris, when you go, oh, there's people in upstate New York, well, New York votes blue every single year. So all we're saying is the concentration of people in Alabama, Mississippi,
disagree.
I mean, they are solidly red. Well, how do you explain that they are solidly red, all those states, every election, no matter what?
I don't know. I don't understand because, like, I know, I mean, I have friends that are Republican and we don't really talk about politics because it ends up being bad. But the majority of people that I know are actually pretty moderate. Like, nobody's, like, extremely, nobody's extremely conservative. Everybody's just kind of like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, Destiny, I think the reason, hello. Are you okay?
Oh, sorry, I'm out in the parking lot.
Oh, that's all right. No, I mean, I think the reason she went to Mississippi, A, that's who's voting,
mm-hmm.
you know, on Tuesday, but I also think because her point of the piece was, this is the poorest state in the country, why does it always vote Republican?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the point of the piece, and I thought the crux of it was that guy that said, she said, why do you keep putting Republican? It doesn't seem to work out for you guys. It's the poorest. And he goes, but it might. It might. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is moronic, which is frustrating. But I think the majority of people, especially like in Jackson, I wish you had to come to Jackson instead of like the Delta and north of Vicksburg, and Vicksburg is actually 45 minutes. Like, Vicksburg is almost into Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and she went north of there. And so I just feel like I wish she had, like, literally gotten off the plane in Jackson and come to Jackson and
right.
talk to
right.
people
a
in
better
Jackson.
Cross-representation of
exactly.
Mississippi instead
right.
of the stereotype that you know, that's in the Delta.
But, Destiny, the point is there is no cross-representation in the elections. They always vote solidly red. That's the point of the piece. You can say, oh, there's people like that in New York, but obviously they're the minority, or that
well,
wouldn't be solidly
but why did she just talk to the Toothless Crackers?
She didn't talk to them. There was only one Toothless guy in there.
It would have made me feel better if she'd have come here and she would have talked mm-hmm. to, like, somebody that was conservative that was in a seat
right.
that was going to work and not, like, some hillbilly with no teeth. Like,
right.
I mean, I would have felt a little bit better about it because there are people down here that look very nice and can speak very articulately that are completely wrong.
Right.
But
doesn't he, I also
I
think...
agree with, and that vote
right.
in a way that I don't agree with that doesn't have our best interests as a state in mind.
See, but Destiny, I think that guy, the point wasn't that he didn't have any teeth. It was that he was, it's the typical Tea Party meme of, you know, get your government hands off my Medicare. He was saying,
right.
yeah, I get food stamps, but, you know, I think I deserve it, but I want the government out of my life. I mean, that's
right.
the, yeah, right.
No, I don't disagree. I just kind of wish there had been a more fair representation.
Yeah.
I
agree
like,
with you, Destiny.
For the past couple of days, I've heard, like, because I listened to Randy Rose in the afternoon, too, and I love Randy, too, but it was just like, I just kind of felt like we were getting beat up, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, everybody down here is not
right.
like
yeah.
that.
Well, I mean, of course not. Of course not everybody.
Unfair.
But I do
but I think the point.
That.
But the point I think that they keep saying is why, you know, I think as she said to some of them, like, you desperately people in Mississippi need health care. Like, why are you
oh,
against?
Yeah,
it's the whole people voting against their self-interest, I think, that are.
And they'll continue to do that because they get, like, it's the dog whistles. You know,
right.
he's a Muslim,
yeah.
he's this, he's that.
Absolutely.
And so they don't see the big picture. And honestly, a lot of people are just too stupid to do the research themselves and, like, find out, oh, okay, well, this is, I'm voting against me when I vote Republican. It's just something that they think is right. And like that one guy said, like, one day it might work out for me. Well, it won't. And you'll die because that's what, you know what I mean? Like, that's what happens when you don't have health care.
Yep, there you go. Okay. All right, thank you, Destiny. Appreciate it. John in Ithaca. Hey, John.
Hey, yes, Chris, I live in upstate New York, and I have, my teeth aren't the greatest in the world, but I recommend that you, Chris, go down to Mississippi and take your own polling of various places, because I'm sure you have a very pretty smile.
What does that mean? Exactly.
I think he said, shut the hell up. Chris, who do you, what radio station are you on? What radio program?
I'm not allowed to have a viewpoint that is a little bit different from yours, John.
But you just keep whining on. You let it go, Chris.
Let what go?
Let it go.
Let what go?
Your whiny position of defending the right-wing mentality.
I'm not defending the right-wing mentality. I'm defending people in the South.
Stephanie calls you a right wing. I was born in Savannah, Georgia. I'm from the South.
So am I, John.
Yeah. All right, John.
Wait a minute. Did he just say, I don't know what it's like down there? I lived in the South for 8 years, John. I went to high school there. My family still lives there, John. I know what it's like in the South. Thank you.
And if you listen to the show, you know, not only are you allowed to have a different opinion, you're allowed to call me the C word. And still be here.
No, I'm not.
No.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to call you the C word.
I have no self-esteem.
Crazy?
Any time. Everybody knows that. Karen in California. Hi, Karen.
You know, all you have to do to see any of that is stay right here in California
mm-hmm.
and drive above Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, those are his people. He lives 2 hours about Sacramento. I go up there, and I'm just shaking my head because it's the exact same mentality. It's the exact same demographics. It's exactly the same, and I'm up there going, oh, my God. I mean, everybody
yeah.
seems to think California is all blue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
No,
so,
I mean, look, Karen, I have, you
it's
know,
all red.
I have a good friend from Orange County, and, you know, you're right, there are different brands of racism. There is country club Republican racism as well. So you're right.
It's exactly like that up there. It's poor. It's redneck. Some of them are toothless. Let me tell you, when I first went up there to visit, my sister-in-law told me, don't let the locals scare you. I swear to God, those were her first words. And I mean, it's really actually very sad up there because it is so poverty-stricken because a lot of the very big businesses in Northern California, like in Red Bluff and Redding, all pulled out of there. So the poverty levels really rose high
right.
because of that. And, you know, but
And Karen, it's startling that
very red.
Right. And it's startling that the right wing has such a disdain for anything in Europe when they've they're, you know, imitating England's dental plans. Just saying. I'm just saying. English teeth.
Yeah. I'm just saying
they emulate English teeth.
Yeah.
And yet they spurn Europe.
I'm just saying, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Trust me, I know. Carol in Tampa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Yes, I think Chris missed the point. She picked those people because they always vote against their self-interest. The poor, they don't know any better. I don't care what state you're in. There are people like that in every state. She did not pick the country club set of Mississippi.
Right.
She knows what they are, but these people consistently vote against their self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's what
so
I was saying.
That's
what I thought the point of the video was myself.
Exactly. The whole point.
Yeah.
So I think they said it when they introduced it. He said, you know, what was going to go
No, because I think Bill Maher was aware, and so was Alexander, that, oh, people are going to say this is like a comedy bit from snooty, you know, coast liberals.
She just went and turned
the camera on. She asked the same questions to a bunch of people. She cut out 20 of them. She used 20 of them.
But she picked the people from the same socioeconomic group. She didn't do a cross-section because that's not what she was going to.
Right.
That wasn't the purpose.
Yeah, I think it was presented as a cross section of Republicans.
She wasn't on Haley Barbour's front porch, which was rebuilt so quickly after Hurricane Katrina. All right, you know we should get Alexandra on if we can.
Okay,
talk to her about it. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm. Oh, look, it's that band, Alabama. They're fabulous. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, Mittens.
Bless his heart.
He thinks
Southern man, I like your hush puppies and your grits.
Oh, boy. Dropping G's all over Alabama and Mississippi. Wishes Mobile a good morning. See how down home he sounds when he drops that G? You're a man of the people, Mittens. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. Hey, Steph, welcome.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, go ahead.
You know what? People don't understand. I have a lot of my best friends are African-American because I happen to be that. But I do know some white people and some Hispanic people, too. But what people don't know, when people say they're coming to Chicago, they never really hit the province of Chicago. Mitt Romney and all of them are going to the northern suburbs, and they go into the northwestern suburbs where the median income is at least $250,000, and the demographic is basically white. And I've never seen anybody I've known in my 52 years have ever been polled, and I've never seen any of these candidates come to the poor part of Chicago, the black part, or even the South Side, anywhere in the city of Chicago. So when they're doing these polls, I don't even understand who they're polling because it's not a real demographic of who actually are voting in the city of Chicago.
When Republicans poll, they only poll, you know, likely Republicans to vote. So I don't know that you're going to find a whole lot of those on the South Side.
Well, you're going to find them in Chicago. I mean, they believe you do. There's an Irish part of Chicago. There's a Polish part of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago's very segregated.
Right. It's a city of neighborhoods, I hear.
But they don't.
It's a TV dinner tray rather than a melting pot.
Don't I know it? I lived off Pulaski with all the other Polacks like me.
Mm-hmm.
Just went to our respective neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We were doing that piece on Blount. Was it Blount County, Alabama? Mm-hmm. Well, it's, 93% white. So, some of the stuff you read in that. It actually read like the Alexander Pelosi piece.
Sure.
Saw it, but, I'm just saying it wasn't surprising, given the lack of diversity, I thought. Let's go to Rhonda in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey.
Hi.
I lived in Mississippi for many years, and, when we moved there, we really was like moving to another country. I, in fact, desegregated my high school's dances in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
They were still having white and black dances and proms. Mm. Well, until I came along. But anyway.
You rabble-rouser, you.
Yeah.
I know.
I could never live there because I would get tired of people asking me what church I was going to go to. I couldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't like that. I couldn't handle that.
Well, and somebody, I can't remember who said it, but somebody was talking about how in the South, the most segregated day of the week is Sunday at 11 o'clock, you know, in church services.
Right, right.
But anyway, you know, stereotypes are unpleasant, but they do have some basis. In fact, there are thousands of people like that in Mississippi. Those people are real, but here's the thing, they do exist in other states.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, when
but not to not to the same degree, I don't think, Rhonda. That's the point. You know,
well,
is that
I mean,
some areas it's
I think
it is to
I
the
think,
same degree.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it's the same to the same degree that they exhibit like that, Chris. I think, well, when we moved to PA, I mean, I have met just as many racist people in our move to PA than I ever met when I lived in Mississippi or any other state in the South. The difference is that she depicted how these people present. You know, this is the way that they present, you know, with no teeth and they're very poor and they feel like they can say these kinds of things. Well, the racist people that I meet in PA just have been socialized differently, so they don't present in the same way. They know better than to say some of the kinds of things that these people said in front of a camera.
Yeah, no, I get your point. Corey in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cor.
Hey, guys. She only talked to one guy without teeth. The rest of the guys were really normal looking. The really young guy, he was against Obamacare, and she made the point.
Oh, he's the one that said it's retarded?
Really? Yeah.
Yes. And the other two guys, they seem to be stuck on a religious bent, saying things like, God should come first in your mind when you're making big decisions. And the other guy was like, put God back in the saddle. So it had a very kind of right-wing Christian kind of slant to it, too. But I think the tooth guy is distracting people. Those are people who have – the one guy was a mechanic for Toyota, and he was like, the president should be American. So I think people are focusing on the wrong thing. The toothless guy had the crazy teeth, and he sort of slanted it in people's mind. The rest of those people were really normal-looking. They looked like people in suburban Detroit.
And a lot of other toothless people apparently ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, she said like they cut like 20 toothless people, so it didn't seem like there was a crazy teeth gap.
Cut with that one guy's crazy tooth.
Just saying, to get a better cross section, she could have gone to all areas of Mississippi. She could have gone to the Gulf. She could
instead
of just the Gulf.
So you can tell her what she did wrong.
People. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, Jim. What were you going to say?
It would be nice if she lived in the South and, actually had an idea of what people are like
there. But the point was people voting against their own self-interest.
Sure. And people do that all over the United States, and they have teeth.
Okay, but how do you explain the numbers and the polling?
I'm just saying the video was beating up on Southern people once again. Liberals who live in the South have a really hard time fighting against that stereotype anyway, and that was just perpetuating.
She didn't interview liberals in the South.
I know.
She interviewed voters in this primary today. Rich in Minneapolis.
You're not getting my point. You're not listening to my point.
I can't hear you. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Stephanie. To simplify it, she spoke to the people that were just like the last lady said. She spoke to people that were willing to speak the truth. If she would have went to the country club, she would have got lies.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, you've got to repeat yourself, Stephanie. Some people aren't as smart as you, especially Chris. This is the poor state, and it's red. And these people are, that's what they are.
Well, Rich, that was my only point. I think that is mathematically untrue that there are the same amount of people like that in every state. That's mathematically and politically not true.
Hey, I've got tickets for your show with my wife.
Oh, awesome. The Aisha Tyler Show. Good luck. Good luck. Your head's going to explode from the crossing of the sexy liberal streams. And by the way, Chris is a lot smarter than I am. Okay. I think that's clear. David in Spokane. You're not that that's a big feat, so don't get all.
I'm not all.
Hi, David in Spokane.
I'm not listening to you.
I'm not
good
listening
morning,
to you.
Good morning to you all. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I live in a predominantly conservative area of the state, and I have one person that I can speak of that we talk back and forth about politics because she agrees like me, and we're progressives, heck, my wife is even a Republican, so we don't even talk about politics in our house. But going back to Mississippi, the whole point of her video had to deal with a red state, they do in that red state voting.
Yep, I hear you. All right, honey, heartbreak. Sorry, 58 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up this hour. David Schuster, the most interesting man in the year, in the world
of the
from
year?
Current TV ever, coming up next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Lisa, right, Steph, just subscribe for another year of joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy of the StephCast. Only $4.95 a year if you buy a year in advance. With all the love and talking down from the ledge I got from you guys last year, so worth it. Love, Lisa, the official former demonic law firm file clerk of the Stephanie Miller Show, Gling. All right. I'll do the blames here. Brian in Glendale. Oh, another unsolicited testimonial. Steph and the Mooks, I agree with you that boycotting a sponsor without them knowing why could hurt others. So I was happy to hear after signing a petition, sending an email that ProFlowers dropped Rush. I called them, ordered a bouquet with several upgrades for my lovely first wife of 32 years.
Aw.
I cited your show and specifically thanked them for dropping Rush. Why, thank you, Brian. What a helpful and proactive listener you are. All right. And sexy liberalness, by the way, sexy liberal, for all the upcoming shows, sexy liberal on Facebook. Jess writes, Steph, knowing, being that you're the all-knowing mama. Yeah, sure. I need to ask you a question. My son Kevin shares a birthday with you, and this year sexy liberal will be in Seattle on September 29th. That's my birthday. Does it make me a bad mother that I'll be spending my son's 14th birthday with you at Sexy Liberal instead of with him?
No. Computer says no.
No. Or would it be worse to bring a 14-year-old along to the show? Well, either way, either way, you're a bad mother, but 14's a little on the bubble. What do you think? What do you think?
A little bit.
A little on the bubble.
Especially for the teabagging demo.
Well, oh, the kids, they've seen worse on the interwebs, haven't they?
I don't know. I don't have kids.
It's better than Republican comedy. Here's Mitt doing some in Alabama. Here we go.
How about raising taxes on small business? You think that'll create jobs for small business?
No!
I'm afraid the president has failed the show, and obviously I know he's smarter than a fifth grader. But I sometimes wonder why it is he does the things he does.
Yeah, he was speaking not from a teleprompter, so he's not good at that.
Boy.
I don't know why he does not do the things he does.
There's your sexy right-wing comedy tour, Jeff Foxworthy and Mitt Romney.
Ooh. I'm looking forward to going out hunting with you sometime, and you can actually show me what shape the rifle is.
Because he doesn't know. He admitted he had a catfish for the second time, which is... That's an offense of some kind in the South, isn't it? Why does he even try? I don't...
Catfish is good.
Jeff Foxworthy...
I looked him in the face, and I said, I want you to answer one thing. Can you fix this? And he did not blink. He said, yes, I can.
Wow. Jim, would you like to know the most awkward moment for the most awkward man in the world in an entire news story filled with awkward moments in the South?
Oh, boy. Hmm.
Before setting off to shake hands inside the restaurant, he urged supporters to embrace him, but only those of the female gender. Please give us a big hug. That's the girls, Romney said.
Oh.
I've been getting hugs from the Southern girls from 12 to, well, a lot more than 12. And then he probably did that fake, like, somebody goosed him thing again, which is hilarious physical comedy. He just makes me wince. He's so awkward. Let's go to Matt in California. Hi, Matt. Welcome. Hi, Matt.
Morning, Mom and Luke.
Morning.
I escaped to California 7 years ago. I'm originally from rural Pennsylvania, southwest of Pennsylvania, where West Virginia spills into Pennsylvania. And those people on the Pelosi video on Bill Maher, I used to see those people every day. They were everywhere. They looked like that, and they talked like that. And I spent most of my young life fighting one-issue voters, trying to say, why would you vote against your best interest? And it used to drive me insane, and I felt the same way watching the beginning of that video. And then when the guy came up, though, that said, I would rather starve than vote against my morals, even though I completely, every fiber of me disagrees with his position and why he does things, there is some sort of strange level of respect for someone that feels that way.
Well, I mean, plus, what was the one guy said the South will rise again. What does that mean again?
That's secede? A common phrase in the South.
Yes, secede, though? Does it mean slavery will be back? What does that mean?
Well, I got from that particular guy what his earlier clips were. It was a moral religious abortion type of thing, which I disagree with his positions on everything, but there is something. going to say, we always say you vote against your best economic interests, and for sure, that's unquestionable. But to say, you know what, I'd rather not get these things than vote against what I truly believe in my heart. I disagree with his position, but it is at least I understand where someone comes from that position, where most of the time the people just, some of the other guys in that video just ramble about things that you just can't even believe they're saying.
Yep, yep, I hear you. What does that mean, Jim? Does it mean refight the Civil War?
No,
they've been practicing reenactments for years.
In the South, there's a sense of being second class to the rest of the United States because they did lose the Civil War. And so
might be time to get over that. What? That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm just trying to explain to you
moving on.
What the feeling
is. Their economy was based on slavery, so that was...
Yes, it's, you know, that's...
It wasn't a manufacturing base.
It's easy to make a profit, you know.
I'm just explaining to you what the feeling is.
Listen, as a businessman, if I could pay you all nothing, I would.
I'm not making excuses, I'm just explaining to you.
Dave in Chicago. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Seth, I always get into the tail end of these discussions. So, about the video, my first reaction to it was that it's incredibly racist. It's a racial stereotype of white people in the South, and it's about as lowbrow as you can get to make a point. I'm really happy Chris is actually kind of standing up against this.
So if you turn your camera on and a guy says the president's a half-breed and a Muslim, it's Alexander Pelosi that's being racist by putting him on camera?
No, it's the fact that she's going after this segmented stereotype of white people who be
painting all of Mississippi as being like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm from Chicago, and Cook County, the one where Chicago is located, is the one that votes Democrat, and that's what carries Illinois. It would be as if I went to the south side of Chicago and did the same sort of video about welfare queens and said, this is the kind of voter that votes for Obama in Illinois. It's an extremely unfair stereotype.
I hear your point, but I'm just saying, you know, demographically, Chris, and politically and numerically, look at the numbers. You and I will look at the numbers in this presidential election. It will not matter which clown from the clown car, Republicans, they will win in a landslide in those red states, right?
Absolutely.
Because he's black.
Right, but it's just another, you know, it's just another person from the coast beating up on the South. And, you know, it gets tiresome, and
I think it's
a little bit lazy.
I think it's turning on a camera and asking questions. Pete in California. Hey, Pete.
Hey, it's amazing how this election's devolved into these crazy religious arguments. America has become so unscientific, so that it's like 45% of the U.S. population believes in ghosts, Bigfoot, and UFOs. I mean, this is, you know, and this is what this election's evolved into, imbecilic religious beliefs. It's just beyond belief that we've reached the point where, you know, we've decided that we're going to take a Taliban position towards women, in the Republican Party.
Well, you know, I don't begrudge someone their belief in God, but it was a little scary, the one guy in the video that said, you know, the economy will be fine. As long as God's back in charge, everything will be fine. Like, really? We don't need to do anything? I mean, it's...
So
well,
God...
I mean, it's got so crazy now. You know, we keep getting these little snippets about, you know, these crazy Mormons that, you know, baptizing Dan Frank, and I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, it's just, we've gotten to the point now where people don't, you know, won't step back and look at reason.
Yeah,
right.
Also, Hitler and Ted Bundy, I heard they also baptized posthumously.
They baptized everybody. That's why they keep such great genealogy records. If you want genealogy records,
right,
you go to the Mormon Church.
Mm. I believe in baptizing the ghosts of Bigfoot feats who fly UFOs.
Yeah. I think that goes without saying. Bill in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, guys. Chris, I kind of sympathize with you. My family has been in the Tidewater area of Southern Virginia.
That's where my family is right now.
I don't think Virginia's really the South. I just dismissed that entire state.
No, you
if
go
you're in the Tidewater area of Southern Virginia, that's
the South.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I sympathize with you. I get what you're saying. But I think we have a forest and tree situation here. The Republican Party can count on the electoral votes of Alabama and Mississippi to go in their column because of people like the people that were interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Right, that state is not going to be blue.
Right, well, Bill, because they don't care about reason or the issues or whatever. You're right. They can count on it because, you know, that's always been part of their Southern strategy.
There's a massive propaganda machine. They didn't just come up thinking the things they're thinking on their own. There is, as Hillary Clinton said, a vast right-wing conservative conspiracy to keep them thinking this way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the point is, you know, illustrated by Mitt Romney, that there are a lot of people in the South who will vote for the country club Republicans, even though they don't remotely have their interests
in heart. Don't relate to them, don't have their interests at heart.
And that's a huge problem, but we're not going to change those minds.
Although distaste for Mitt Romney seems to be sort of the universal thing we can finally all agree on. Frothy.
We're not just focused on one region of the country. Or, you know, I don't consider this an away game. This is home for me, just like it is everywhere I go in this country.
He's Mr. Everywhere.
Everywhere
Kamala in Indiana. Hey, Kamala.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, go ahead.
Just wanted to bring up the whole religious point again. By the way, the official Oreo cookie of the Stephanie Miller Show. We have relatives in Mississippi who voted for McCain Palin in the last election because they couldn't get it around their heads that, you know, Obama wanted to let gays be treated as equal citizens, and it just didn't sit right with them and God, so they voted the other way. My relatives down there were like nuts about it because everybody else said, what are you doing? You know, they could care less about you. They want to cut stuff out for you. And she said she couldn't bring herself because it didn't sit right in her heart, and God would not let her, I guess.
Oy. Yeah, Kamala, I guess what strikes me is that literally in 2012 we're having a debate, should women be allowed to have birth control and should, you know, interracial couples be allowed to marry? Well, what? I thought those things, huh?
Yeah, you think it would be past that.
Yeah, no, well, I can't believe that, but they use those as polling questions in Alabama and Mississippi, and some, you know, majorities in some places don't think interracial marriage should be allowed. It's like, really? So we're going to go back to what? Okay. Oh, by the way, I love this story because it's a bunch of clashing bigotries. Santorum supporter, which that is not an easy job.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, it kind of slips through your fingers.
Having to support Santorum. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Reverend O'Neill Dozier, guy.
I'm sorry, who?
Dozier?
What?
Dozier.
Come again? What? O'Neill? Your first name's O'Neill? Really?
Yeah. You might remember him as the Christian pastor and Rick Santorum supporter who once said homosexuality makes God want to vomit.
Sure.
More than a JFK
speech?
That's
why there's rain.
Or the same amount.
Rain is just God vomiting on you.
Over the gays. He held a press conference asking Mitt Romney to renounce his Mormon faith. His primary issue with the Mormon religion, according to the press release, is what he views as a history of racist and xenophobic practices.
Really?
So the gay bashing, that's fine. Yes, that's good.
Computer says yes. Computer says
apparently
no.
Apparently very concerned about other kinds of bigotry. He said the Mormon religion is prejudiced against blacks, Jews, and Native American Indians, he says. So he's apparently, as long as they aren't gays, presumably.
Sure.
Doesn't happen.
Because then you vomit.
Any other.
Exactly. Doesn't matter what nationality of gay.
Right.
They all make God vomit.
Yeah. That's kind of common knowledge. Okay. Isn't it?
I don't know. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Wendy writes, Steph, while I appreciate Chris's argument, there are other types of people in Mississippi bending over backwards to make a point that ignores the fact that 55% of the voters in the Republican Party in the South believe Obama's a Muslim. You simply can't get over the fact it's more racist overall in the South. Sorry. And then she tells a story about her father marrying a woman in Alabama, their trip down there.
Oh, okay. Sure, it is more racist in the South. Absolutely. I've lived all over the United States. The most racist place I've lived is the South.
Bill in Los Angeles.
I'm not disputing that.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Love this. Really, really love the show.
Thanks.
But
I have to take issue with this idea that the phrase "the South will rise again" has nothing to do with racism, white supremacy, the myth of inferiority. I was born in Louisiana. I'm an African-American. When a white guy with a Southern Cross tattoo on his arm says to me or yells at me that the South will rise again.
Right.
Yes, that is absolutely racist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're not dummies. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know.
I don't need the Southern Cross tattoo on his arm to understand the racism. And how? I'm wondering, is it possible that Jim Ward? I believe you said that has not, you know, it's not racist. It's kind of okay. It's
I know. I know. That was me, and I never said it wasn't racist.
Yeah,
okay.
It's code. I think it's
all
code,
right.
Of course. I mean, I don't know what it means. You'd have to ask. Does it mean refight the Civil War? Does it mean bring slavery back? Does it mean secede? What is it? But I mean, what does that mean?
I have plenty of friends in high school who were not racist who used that phrase.
Sure, and I knew lots of people who did the Hitler salute.
You know,
sure. They weren't necessarily pro-Hitler.
Come on, this is a joke. Come on.
Tony in Los Angeles.
We're getting all bent out of shape over there.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Tony.
First of all, I've been black 50 years, so I think I got to know what it is.
Good job. Way to go.
And with, like Malcolm said, everything below the Canadian border is the South. Now, when you've been black... For 50 years like me, trust me, first of all, I think it's kind of funny sometimes when I hear some white people talk about who's racist, who's not. You don't experience it, so
okay.
You really don't
so
know.
So you just called me racist. Thank you.
No,
I appreciate that.
No, you're racist.
Okay.
Chris. I'm saying that you're
But
not
you don't
black
believe me if I say I'm not racist.
No,
you
no,
just
no.
said
Look,
that.
Listen,
you just
listen.
Said that.
No, she didn't.
No, I
yes.
did not. Yeah. I'm saying that you're white, and it's really funny, the people that created racism that wants to tell everybody else that experienced it what it means. Now, I'm just going to, now, y'all know I'm cool, but this really kind of pissed me off this morning in the sense that, first of all, it's everywhere. You know, all what the Obama presidency to me is showing is it's a mirror to the United States.
Right.
Everybody white needs to start understanding, you know, oh, you people are sensitive. Well, some of them people that was on that video would lynch me.
Yeah.
In the right
time, in the
right space, or, you know, whatever. So
I think it's you're right. It's been a double-sided coin. We have elected the first African-American in our history, which is amazing. But you're right. It also
right.
has brought out racism that maybe
right.
a lot of us didn't realize, particularly us naive
it
white liberals, didn't realize
exactly.
was so prevalent. Yeah.
Right, like you said, some folks are mean. Those same people lynch people. So I really, you know, I think it's funny. And like you said, with the video, I think she's just showing. But those people exist. Why is it that we're, you know, we got to tell the truth. And if anything his presidency has shown in my lifetime, you know, other than being proud of the man, but that he is a nigga
right.
in some
oh.
people's view.
Yikes.
I don't care what he is. So if he
All
is
right.
one, what do you think I am?
Yep. Well, you know, that one guy that said, oh, it's not because he's black, it's because he's a half-breed. It's like, oh, I see. So it's the white part of him you don't like? Yeah, right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Many people dream of a fresh new look.
Stephanie Miller.
Can make those dreams come true.
That's Billy West.
Yep.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Sylvester in Illinois. Hello, Sylvester.
Hello, Stephanie. And Bumdamook.
Yes.
I have to take exception to your term, Polak.
I was saying I lived with the other Polaks like me.
Exactly.
Right off Pulaski.
Just because you claim Polish heritage, in my view...
I'm not allowed to call myself a Polak?
You just claim Polish heritage. You're really not Polish, Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I was born and raised in Poland. I've lived in suburban Chicago for the last 30-odd years. And
yep.
I noticed that people tend to use this term liberally around here, but
wow.
it's very offensive. It's extremely offensive to a Polish person.
I can make pigs in a blanket.
The same way as the N word is to a black person.
But I am Polish, and I can make gunkies and
the
pigs
right
in blankets.
The term on the air.
All right. Well,
thank you. And I think you should maybe think it over and moderate your speech.
All right. Thank you, Sylvester. Sorry about that.
Yes, Stephanie, moderate your speech.
I guess that makes me a dumb... All right, never mind. Stop it.
So I can't decide if
I'm... I can pick some blankets.
I can't decide if I'm a Mick, a Kraut, a Redskin, or whatever the derogatory term for Welshman is. So
you
I'm
think
not
about
sure
it
there is one.
And get back to us. All right,
is
we're all obviously
term for French-Canadian?
We're all self-hating, apparently. All right, there's only one man that can clear all this up. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
I just stumbled right into my own stereotype, didn't I, Charlie Pierce?
How's he feel about Bohunk?
Wow.
Wow.
Speaking of poor Sylvester in his, you know, apartment with his radio and his cat.
Now. Speaking of people being
living
offended.
Living in Chicago for 30-odd years, and most of them have been extremely odd, I imagine.
Yeah.
Charlie, speaking of being offended, you alerted us to the news that somebody's been offended by Doonesbury, which happens
once a
decade.
The newspapers have been losing their guts over the Doonesbury thing. Apparently, you can use transvaginal in your news stories, but not in your comic strip.
No, then it's not. That
because
sort of
apparently
thing.
Wonder Woman did not have a hoo-ha.
No,
which was kind of some surprise to me. And to Superman, I might.
So, Charlie, we've been having this whole discussion about the South and the primaries today and Alexander Pelosi's film. But, you know, you talk about, this is what you write about this week. The latest episode in our semi-regular feature begins in the great states of Alabama and Mississippi, where by all evidence available to modern American survey research, a great many people are morons. Do you think Barack Obama is Christian or Muslim, or are you not sure? Christian, 14%, Muslim, 45%, not sure, 41%.
Let's be clear. These are Republican primary voters. All my good friends in the South.
Exactly.
Specifically the people who are going to be voting tonight.
Right. Do you believe in evolution or not? Believe in evolution, 26%, do not, 60%, not sure, 13%.
Well, I think that's based on close observation of their own relatives, myself. I know.
As you say, elsewhere...
Og no believe in science.
Elsewhere on the trail...
Og hit you with rock.
Down in the old Confederacy, Rick Santorum has decided to direct his colossal etude, which is a great word, etude. And as I mentioned recently, what a colossal he is, at the concept of a speechwriters and pollsters and, yes, teleprompters. Oh, it's the war against teleprompters.
He's decided that it should be illegal for presidents to use teleprompters or speechwriters.
Really?
Yes, he actually said that.
Peggy Noonan is weeping into her Chablis and doesn't know why. But apparently it hasn't dawned on Rick that you can, like, write your own stuff and put it on a teleprompter.
Yes, it's not the technology that's your enemy.
That's right. The technology is your friend. You are its enemy.
Yes. So it's obviously, all the polls I've seen, it's pretty much a statistical dead heat between all three of them in Alabama and Mississippi.
I'm just writing about this now. It'll go up later today. The Boston Herald today had the single funniest quote in the history of this presidential campaign where a local Republican up in Massachusetts said Romney wasn't a phony. My God, if Mitt Romney wasn't a phony, his campaign would have been dead in Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's running around with Jeff Foxworthy, taking the Rosetta Stone introductory course into how to talk peckerwood, and behaving like Governor Cheesy Grits.
Yeah. This is.
I mean, being a phony is this guy's job.
Right.
This is the essential.
It's a stock and
trade.
This
is the essential bargain you make if you vote for Mitt Romney. Either he was a phony when he was a governor up here, or he's a phony now.
Yeah.
You have to decide.
If it wasn't for
being a phony, he wouldn't have any campaign at all.
I know.
Can you get camembert grits?
No.
I mean,
on my grits is a little runny here.
Yeah, I don't think Mitt Romney's lips have ever touched Cheese Whiz. Ever.
Ever. No orange kind of cheese at all.
Just touch Cheese Whiz would never touch mine, buddy.
Yeah, I have to say, in a series of really awkward moments in the Romney campaign, that these may have been the most awkward scenes yesterday.
Well, yeah, because this is where his essential, the fact that his entire campaign is based on his being a phony, this is where it comes into sharpest relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
at the same time, I mean, it seems that the voters in Alabama and Mississippi are making the calculation that's eluded voters in a lot of other places, which is basically, yeah, he's going to be the nominee. Let's get it over with.
Yeah. Well,
the fact that he's even competitive down there is amazing.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, you saw Rick Santorum said yesterday his path to the nomination counts on continued chaos in the field and a fractured GOP arriving at the nominating convention in late summer, which apparently he's rooting for.
Yes, because he is the king of chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Santorum is the loci of this group.
Yeah, he said he was.
There's a reference that went right down to the bottom of the well. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I ignored that. Yeah. He said they're not going to nominate a moderate Massachusetts governor who's been outspending his opponent 10-1 and can't win the election outright. We're going to be the nominee. Governor Romney will not make it. Do you think this is again a possibility?
I don't think Rick Santorum's a possibility. I think getting to the convention without enough delegates is a possibility. And I think the thing you have to watch very carefully are these state conventions where they're going to actually parcel out the delegates, because there's going to be some real cutthroat politics going on there.
Well, it's been such an inspirational math-based campaign for Mitt Romney as it is. I mean, literally, when you basically are talking about math and
delegate math.
Yes, delegate math. That's, you know, what's more uplifting than that?
It's like a giant abacus with little human beings on it that you keep piling into.
So what do you think is going to happen today?
I think Santorum and Gingrich will split the two states, but the race will be so close that it won't materially affect Romney at all.
Well,
if he comes in within 2 or 3 points of those guys down there, that's the best he was supposed to do anyway.
Right. Well, that's what, I mean, you're seeing the headlines today, how Romney can lose today and still not really lose.
If he comes out of there with, out of those two states with, oh, shoot, I don't know, 25 delegates, he's done very well.
Yeah. Well, he laughed at Gingrich's suggestion he's a weak front runner. He said, if I'm a weak front runner, what does that make Newt Gingrich? Because I'm well ahead of him. It's the primary's version of I know you are, but what am I?
Yes, well, Newt's campaign is having a sort of a soft launch, as they say. Television.
Yes, they say television.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. It happens to everybody once in a while.
Yeah, well, of course. And that's why you should have medicine if you need it. Now, Charlie, Gingrich also contradicting his own spokesman now, saying he is going all the way to Tampa, and obviously the spokesman saying if he doesn't win.
I think the spokesman's probably not going all the way to Tampa.
Yeah.
The spokesman's going to be back, you know, selling, you know, feedlots again sometime the next.
Yeah. Well, he basically said if he doesn't win today, you know.
But tonight when if he splits, and I don't think anybody's going to beat the hell out of anybody tonight, somebody's going to win by 2 or 3 points in both states. If he gets 1 and not 2, then he can say, well, see, I won, so I'm moving on.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he moves on to.
Yeah. So when is this going to wrap up?
I still think that they'll somehow, through, you know, as I said, through some thievery at these state conventions, he's going to wind up with 1,100 delegates going to Tampa. Now, if the rest of the, I mean, you know, if he has 1,100 and whatever, 24, I think it is, you know, committed delegates when he gets to Tampa, that'll make all the difference in the world. If he has, you know, a list of 1,124 names that he thinks are going to vote for him, then you could still have a hell mouth. In the convention hall.
Wow, a Buffy reference.
Well, I did so well with Norse mythology, I thought I'd shoot the moon.
Yeah.
Speaking of hellmouths, so we haven't spoken to you since the whole Rush Limbaugh controversy. He wasn't there yesterday. What was going on with that?
He was apparently golfing, because that's really what Obama does when he's out working.
He was golfing and trying to stay away from anyone who'd say nasty things about him, because we know Rush doesn't react well to that. But I mean, again, I bow to your expertise, you know, your obvious expertise in building a massive national radio syndicate. I mean, 98 sponsors to me sounds like a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, it sounds like more than a couple French fries.
People actually saying I don't want, and people actually saying I don't want to advertise on any of these shows. That's what really the fallout of this that's amazed me most.
Yeah.
If people are having second thoughts about advertising on any of that, you know, not that that's good for us.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, people are saying, well, you know, the Sean Hannity guy and this Michael Savage guy, and gee, there might even be worse.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we've said from day one, that boycotts make all of us in the radio business a little hinky, because it could happen to all of us.
This to me doesn't seem like a boycott, though. This seems like people making, you know, invisible hand market decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad for our product to be on with this guy.
And now the syndicator has indicated that all barter spots are to be pulled for the next 2 weeks from the Rush Limbaugh show.
Yeah.
Which is a huge deal.
Is that when they, like, trade animal skins for whiskey? Or
no, that's when the station has to run additional spots in other day parts that are still associated with the Rush Limbaugh show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah. This is a huge deal.
No,
for
it is.
Syndicator.
It is a big deal. I mean, people are, you know, speculating: is it his Don Imus, Dr. Laura moment, or, you know, is he too big to fail, as they say?
I think well, he's certainly too big to fall. He wouldn't want to be around. But yeah, I don't think he's gonna. I mean, he's got too much wherewithal at this point to disappear altogether overnight.
Yeah. Well, I know
he did, but I mean, yeah. if he does fall, it will be a long, slow fall.
Yeah, I mean, here's another interesting one we hadn't brought up today. Jane Fonda, Robin Morgan, and Gloria Steinem are trying to get the FCC to pull his license. They're saying it's surely time for the public to ask the FCC a basic question. Are stations carrying Limbaugh's show, in fact, using their licenses in the public interest? Again, it's an interesting question, but, you know, Charlie, my fear with that is it can cut both ways.
Of course it can, and you know? It's also a question that the FCC is going to dodge. I mean, do you think, you know, in Barack Obama in election year, wants his government to look like it's censoring talk radio?
Right.
You imagine that you'd be able to hear the flying monkeys on the moons of Neptune if they tried that.
Right.
I mean, they're already out there screaming about the return of the Fairness Doctrine, which is not coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
It never will.
Yeah.
And Harry Reid has said it never will, and the president has said it never will, but they're still out there saying that, you know, in his second term, when he's, you know, completely unleashed from any electoral responsibility, he's going to bring back the Fairness
Doctrine. Yeah, well, they need a boogeyman.
I mean,
that's
the equivalent of he's coming to get your guns.
Yeah.
But exactly.
If the FCC actually took a move toward what these women are suggesting, oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, tit for tat-wise, it's not much of a stretch to go. There's going to be a right-wing group that claims Stephanie Miller is not, you know, in the public interest because, you know.
She tells fart jokes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you. And the queue is possessed.
Polluting the airwaves, literally. All right. Charlie Pierce.
Oh, and the folks at Current TV just went, oh.
Oh God.
A lot of heads and hands at Current.
Can we get Jake Uecker on for 12 hours a day?
Yeah. Yeah. There goes that soft launch next week. Yeah.
It just got softer.
Yeah.
Can we rerun that thing about Afghan drug lords the 250th time?
Now
you're making
great.
Fun of Current programming.
That's why.
Sorry, guys.
That's why they need
Stephanie Miller.
Florida, we all know you got cheated.
All right.
That's right.
We're on your side, big guy.
Yes, all right. We are.
That's it for us.
Forget the fact that Jim Ward does a hilarious album.
You are not coming on the show ever again. I want a recount.
Hey, by the way, did you guys have a good time in Arizona?
We did indeed. Phoenix Sexy Liberal. Yes.
Yeah, because we're the Wait Don't Tell Me gang is going to be down in Tucson on Thursday.
Oh wow!
Are you really?
We'll be collecting the trying to sift through the rubble of what's left for not the Sexy Liberals have left down.
Exactly. Exactly. Good
well,
luck.
Have fun.
Tap fun, honey. See you next week, Charlie
Pierce.
Take care. Esquire.com. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I want a man with a slow hand. I want a lover with an easy touch. I want somebody who will spend some time, not come and go in a heated rush.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in promo code Stephanie. Gorman in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gorman.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey,
I just wanted to point out your future boss at Current TV, Vice President Al Gore, wrote a very brilliant book called The Assault on Reason. And it doesn't only just touch on the... on climate change and stuff. It also really did touch a lot on why these people are voting against their own best interests.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I heard a good discussion yesterday about the... are you okay? Mm-hmm. Stroke? Nothing? Okay, great. No, I was about people's post-presidencies and vice-presidencies, and again, not to stereotype, but I'm just saying, when you look at Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or Al Gore and what they've done mm-hmm. with their post-presidencies and vice, because I think it came up because of Game Change.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was talking about Sarah Palin's convention speech when she talked about being an advocate for disabled kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go, you try to have an open mind, you Google it. She's done nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, you look at what George Bush, Dick Cheney, what have they done? to help other people in their... How have they used their post-presidency or vice-presidency or nomination? They
kissed an Arab guy in the mouth.
They've advocated for wars and advocated for more money for oil companies. That's all they've done.
I'm just saying, one could say Republicans seem a little more, you know, out for themselves. I'm just saying.
And W has gone on the speaking tour.
Yeah. Yes, you know, that's... because, well, that was always his gift. Eric and...
Cheney's just staring at people in a menacing way.
He's doing something.
He's keeping heart doctors in
Eric business. And Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hello, folks. I just want to bring up a story when I was in the seventh grade in 1976. Yes, it was a white kid that was gay. And his father threw him out the house. This is a true story, right? This black family, he was friends with some of these black girls that was in my neighborhood. Anyway, he moved in with the black family, and he rode the school bus back and forth to our elementary school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody bothered him. Nobody done nothing. I mean, it was just one of the stories about youth and being in the South and the homosexual thing, because you hear people say that blacks are real racist toward homosexual people. Everybody's racist against homosexual people, but you can't paint the whole black group. You guys ain't done that. But I just wanted to let that story
out. I don't think I ever said...
Racist against homosexual people?
Homophobic is that what I think he meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, Annie in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Annie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you.
You too.
Here's the thing. I'm your official sterile knitter of the Stephanie Miller Show. And I wanted to tell you about a website that some other knitters and I put together for women's reproductive rights. It's called Government Free the JJ. Wombs and uteruses and the JJs and all this stuff, and we're going to send them to the male members of Congress, because we're thinking if they have one of their own, they'll leave ours alone.
There you go. Knitters are notoriously wacky.
Yes.
Let's go to Richard in L.A. Hey, Richard, welcome. Hello, Richard.
How are you?
Good.
But first, can I be the official ex-Jew, ex-Christian of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Can you be an ex-Jew? Can you be an ex-Jew and ex-Christian?
It wasn't easy, let me tell you.
Wow. Okay. Yikes. Ouch.
Now that we've arrived at freedom from religion, I'm thankful and have absolutely no problem with a Muslim being our president. And I don't know why we keep saying it like, oh, he's not a Christian. God forbid he's not a Christian, which I interpret as a pig-eating pagan, because that is what Christians actually are when you examine the actual holidays that they call his birthday and his resurrection day. Mm-hmm. And they know it, that they were pagan holidays. And I guess this way they attack everyone else. So nobody gets to look at the complete inversion of the message of Jesus and of God that is Christianity, to varying degrees, depending on the denomination and the individual. But I personally have no problem with a Muslim as a president, and would have more problem with another one of these pig-eating pagans calling themselves Christians.
So we should not eat ham while celebrating the birth of a Jew, is what you're saying.
Well, that's just an example.
And more importantly, did you have to be uncircumcised? I'm still back on the how you... Did someone keep the tip, or what? I'm just kidding.
Well, no. Being Jewish is an ethnicity and a religion, and
it's also a culture.
Deal with the
yeah,
whole,
it's a dessert topping.
No, it is not. All right. by the way, I love Mitt Romney's response. Rick Santorum said he wants there to be a chaotic, all the way to the convention. And Mitt Romney said, we sure as heck aren't going to go to a convention all the way to the end of August to select a nominee.
Oh, heck no.
I'm running for president, for Pete's sake.
Golly.
We can't have chaos.
Frankly, I want chaos.
That's unseemly.
Newt wants chaos.
Chaos
total
is good.
Chaos.
I never liked control.
Awesome.
Siegfried was my favorite on Get Smart, frankly. I like chaos.
Phil in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Stephanie. The issue that I'm having is I constantly hear that we've elected the first African-American president. Going back to this whole issue about racism, and I love you, but we've elected the first biracial president, who I think should be the bridge between the two races.
Wow, that's a big job all by himself.
Yep.
Wow.
And they don't believe in infrastructure. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the most interesting man in the world. David Schuster coming up in a half an hour from the fabulous Current TV.
I hear it's a great channel.
And yes. It's about to get greater. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, tomorrow, comedian extraordinaire Louis Black and Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Can it get any better than that?
It's an explosion of money. Tomorrow on the big show. Oh, right. Ron in Rancho Mirage, speaking of sexy liberalness, Steph just got my tickets for L.A. On July 28th. Yay. You really should consider doing a show in Palm Desert. Your desert gays would love that. Well, my desert gays can get their ass in the car, for God's sake.
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Get into my Chrysler. It's as big as a whale.
Exactly.
It's about to set sail.
It's an hour and a half. For God's sakes.
And bring your jukebox money.
Yes, exactly. All right, Katie in Chicago, Steph, love you in the MOOCs. Your show so much. Sign up for the Stephcast. Hello. Right after my boyfriend, fiance of 11 years, dumped me. Bastard person. Saw you guys in Chicago in the 99% seats. It was so much fun. Yay. Heard on the 8-12 show about Elise and the apparently awesome lamps she makes. I want to try to find her name online. Was unable to. I want to throw my money at her. Look, another sponsor of the Stephanie Miller Show, look, we got our lamps. Look at my lamp. I've got it. It's right in front of me. EliseLittenberg.com. It's ElseLittenberg. I broke mine because I'm a spaz, and she just sent me another one. Awesome lamps. All right. All right, lots to get to. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I agree with Pat Buchanan on something.
What? Why? Huh?
Y'all shouldn't watch MSNBC anymore. I think you should start watching Current, is what I think.
This thing is winnable, and I would tell folks, look, gotta watch something other than my old network, MSNBC, or you'll just get downhearted. You know, check some of the other networks and check the papers and read.
And I think he went on to say, especially
Stephanie Miller
on the new Current TV, coming up, launching in a week or two. Sure, that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
I think he wants just to watch, Hitler videos on the military channel.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on the Romney.
Romney's strategy is the tortoise, and he's done this all along.
Oh,
and I think it makes sense.
Clever.
The least exciting of the candidates is going to accumulate delegates. The problem is, I'm not sure in the end it's going to leave him in a position. He's a lot weaker today, let's say, than he was in late last year. He has no choice. He has to win the nomination. But yet, it's not a strategy that's going to sustain him, and it certainly is not increasing any excitement on his part.
I beg to differ. I am the tortoise. I have that particular terrarium staked out.
Yeah, you know you lack excitement when you're stealing Mitch McConnell's act.
Turtle tunnel.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
You have a firm grasp, the obvious, son. Now, get me a mint julep.
Laura Ingram, are we still talking about contraception?
If you are a woman, for instance, and you're working for, let's say, Georgetown University Hospital, and you want to have multiple sexual partners every week, one is going to stop you from buying whatever contraception you want to use. And community clinics cover virtually all the costs. So this is a totally phony issue pushed by partisans who have no strategy other than to go negative, dividing Americans along racial, ethnic, and now gender lines. Obama's boosters are misrepresenting what's going on, and they're deceiving the American people just so he can retain power.
More than right.
So how do you get this straight?
Power.
She had quite the problem when Ed Schultz called her a slut. Did she defend Rush, I'm just guessing? Did she have a problem with Rush taking someone that was not a public figure and calling her slut and a prostitute for 3 days? No.
Computer says no.
Funny that. Interesting. Brad Stein, he's a conservative comic, Jim.
He's that conservative comic.
Jesus. I'm doing a funny voice and I'm bending over at the waist to look at you right in the face. It's funny.
This is Brad Stein on the Fox News.
If Christians complain about the bigotry that happens to us, why, we're oversensitive. But to liberals, it's sophisticated. That's really their hypocrisy. You know, it was originally called Good Christian Witches with a B. That's how little ABC thinks of the 75% of people that, of Americans that call themselves Christians. But here's the good news. I went to the ABC president, and I said, you need to be more open-minded. So they got a whole new lineup coming up. You're going to love this. The first show is going to be called... Are you ready? Good Gay Cannibals. Oh, talk about your alternative lifestyles. These aren't guys that just like other guys. They eat them for breakfast. Oh, and then they leave with an extreme makeover. It's hysterical.
Wow, really?
That hurt my heart.
That's conservative comedy.
Oh, God.
See the gay cannibals.
Someone at Fox thinks he's
funny.
Hilarious. Okay. All right. Wow. That was like watching one of those really painful amateur nights.
See, even if you think Bill Maher's a, you know, some kind of orifice, and
yeah,
and
you,
many do,
and you could be right, but he's funny.
Yes,
he is funny. This
yes.
guy, it's a,
that's
he wouldn't know a joke if it. Well, you know.
I don't. Wow. Plus, you could hear like the train the whistle coming like
way. Yeah.
I'm going to. Make up a funny name.
Wait for
it. Show
it. Here it comes. You ready? Here comes the joke.
Okay. Gretchen Carlson and Donald Trump.
Ew.
Speaking of comedy teams.
The New York Police Department's Muslim surveillance program that's been in effect for quite some time. When Eric Holder, the attorney general, was asked about this under oath last week, he said, yeah, I'm sort of troubled with the way that they have been going about their surveillance.
Well, Gretchen, there's an expression, go where the action is. And... let's not kid ourselves. That's where the action is.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes, so every Muslim should be followed because, clearly
because they're Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So he gets to do all his interviews on the phone because he's such a big name. He's huge. So huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It's a huge phone.
Yeah, because his thoughts are
so
precious.
Ask me a huge phone to get around my hair.
All right. And Greg... Gutfield on the five. Here.
The fact is, it's about degree and proportion. When somebody like Rush Limbaugh makes an unforced error, they spend a month on it.
Right.
But if Bill Maher does the same, it's a day. That's the point.
Well, first of all, Rush Limbaugh spent 3 days and then another day during the apology attacking the woman. So.
It was more than just an unforced error.
No.
That was a deliberate 3-day attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on a defenseless woman.
First of all, the reason...
And not just on her, on all women.
All women, yeah.
By the way, two important points that I don't think anyone's brought up about this whole analogy of immediately they go, oh, Bill Maher said, well, first of all, he's on HBO, which has no FCC,
right,
like we do in radio, and he, as he's pointed out, he has no sponsors, so it's... You know, they keep trying to make a direct analogy, but first of all, it's not governed. So when you know, as Bill said, he's a potty mouth. So he used the C word or the C word or whatever. That's why people go on HBO because it's like stand up. There's no FCC. All right. Let's go to William in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, William. Hello.
I want to defend Chris first, then sort of pile on. First clarification. Chris, the woman earlier was not calling you racist. She was saying that people who haven't experienced racism can identify it as well as those who have. So not calling you racist, just not a credible racism detector. And then not to defend you. I'm born and raised in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I know there are lots of good people and lots of bad people of all colors.
Mm-hmm.
You can find lots of good, kind-hearted, progressive, educated, beautiful people in the South.
Mm-hmm,
right. Remember, 44% of Texans voted for Obama.
That's right.
And he almost got 40% in Alabama. So she didn't show that 40+%.
Right.
Now there's the one last thing. However, my wife, who had to go to a meeting, finds this whole hullabaloo aggravating. Because every time there's a shooting or a fire or a championship celebration riot in a large city, the camera always finds some overly loud, toothless or gold-tooth drunk Negro to offer a PCP-induced opinion. I mean, it never fails. They don't interview the African-American lawyer because he's at work or the college student because she's in class. But those dentally challenged African-Americans get to represent all of us on hundreds of news stations across America, and now one person interviews some Southern crackers.
Yeah, William, you're right. It cuts both ways.
Well, sure, because they're all Black Panthers and, you know, part of the Acorn.
On Fox News, every black is a
Panther.
That's
on Fox News.
Yes. Bill in Jersey. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Regarding Rick Santorum and his ideas about banning teleprompters, he should be reminded that Abraham Lincoln read the Gettysburg Address off the back of an envelope. And there have been writers for, I don't know how long, for every president. And I'd like to see Rick Santorum give an hour and a half State of the Union address off the cuff.
Yeah, exactly. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Mama. Two points real quick. Jim, I'm three-quarters Welsh, and I can't say it on the radio, but it has something to do with sheep.
Okay, all right. Someone just emailed me and said that the proper term for a Welsh person, or an insult for a Welsh person, is a taffy.
Ah.
Ouch, that hurt.
Mama, I'm not going to argue about which one of you smarter, because you're both my favorite.
Thank you.
But Chris is right on this one. When Rick Santorum suggests that Obama was a snob, it's that stereotype about liberals pointing and laughing at toothless crackers that supports his position.
He was saying wanting to go to college. The president, being a snob.
Instead of, you know, pointing and laughing, what we should be doing is understanding the plight of generational racism, poor health care, lousy public education, people that are trapped in a downward spiral of bad economics. It makes me want to join the Peace Corps and go down there.
We should try and let them know how the Democratic Party can help them, rather than pointing and laughing at them.
Right. So yeah, that's why I think Chris is right.
Do you really think you're going to be able to reason with any of the people in that video?
You can try. You can try instead of pointing and laughing.
I blame the elitist taffies.
Yes, that's the whole point. Okay, Lynette in Minnesota. And by the way, I didn't think Nancy Pelosi was pointing and laughing. She was asking questions.
It kind of came off that way.
She was saying, why do you vote against your self-interest?
It kind of came off that way.
I don't believe you. Hello, Lynette.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. I love you all equally,
you.
Of course.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to make a statement about intelligence and whether you have teeth or not, because I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but when you're on any kind of medical program, whether it's through the state or through your employer, the first programs that always get cut are dental health.
Right.
And so I had a gum disease developing because I couldn't afford to go to the dentist, and I almost lost a couple teeth, and it had nothing to do with how smart I was. It's just that's the way our dental plans are set up.
I know. Right. You can also get serious infections. I mean, one of the bass players for Jethro Tull, there are a bunch of them, but the one guy actually died of a heart infection because of it.
Mm-hmm.
He waited too long.
That's common, actually.
No, it is a healthcare issue. You're right.
Because I had called the state originally when the governor that we had then was making all these cuts, and I said, if I go in for a job interview and I have no teeth, I'm probably not going to get the job, and someone with teeth will.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
that's...
it's definitely an economic, social, whatever issue.
That's right. It's an economic and a healthcare issue. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's almost like it's Hump Days with Hal.
Stephanie Miller.
That's tomorrow. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Jen in Delaware. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Mama. Hi, Lou.
Hi.
Hello.
Really quickly. I think, and I'm not sure. You can correct me. I think, didn't Bill Maher say that Alexis was going to go in an interview some people who lived in more urban or city areas, like at a later date?
I don't know.
I missed that.
Yeah.
He said that. I'm pretty sure he did say that. So it'll be a different demographic.
So it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. But what I wanted to say to you, Chris, I don't think that the lady who called earlier was calling you a racist. I think that, and this is what I was saying before, I think that with the election of this president, I think a lot of us have sort of been challenged to kind of take a step back and sort of take a look at how we view other races and cultures. Like, are we really truly a culturally diverse country? And I know I'm a registered nurse, so I deal with this on a daily basis. I walk in a room, and immediately I'm the nurse's aide. And then, no, I'm your nurse. Are you LPN? No, I'm an RN. Oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, I know your parents are so proud of you. How many children do you have? But they never ask, are you married? And so I'll say, oh, and my husband, oh, you're married. Oh,
you're married? Oh, my goodness.
You're
yeah.
One.
Yeah,
you
no.
know, I actually had this young lady who wrote this wonderful letter about me. She said I was the best nurse she ever had. But when I went in the room, she felt the need to tell me that her father taught her that you should always respect colors. Because those colored people are treated unfairly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, every time she's
like,
colored,
boy.
I cringe.
Yeah. Jen, I agree. Chris, you were being a little oversensitive. She was saying that she didn't think white people can understand racism in the same way black people can. She certainly wasn't calling you a racist. She
yeah,
just
that,
was,
that, I
yeah.
just wanted to try to kind of like,
yeah.
you know, kind of define
he's hypersensitive.
What she's trying to say.
You know what those French Canadians are like.
Yeah. Exactly,
thanks,
Jen.
Guys.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Abby in San Francisco. Hey, Abby.
Good morning, Steph. Hi,
Good
Luke.
Morning.
Remember that footage of Mitt Romney on Mike Huckabee's show when Mike Huckabee asked him about the Mississippi Personhood Amendment, and Mitt Romney said he would absolutely have been for it. Do you remember that? That footage has sort of disappeared in this whole discussion we've been having of women's issues, and Romney seems to be doing better with women, with single women, et cetera, in the primaries, compared to Santorum, who is extreme and is being perceived as extreme on women's issues. But I think we need to remember that this was Romney's position, that he was for the Fetal Personhood Amendment, which, as we know, would not only, you know, make a fetus a person, but it would outlaw some forms of hormonal birth control.
Yeah.
And I think every time anybody starts to, Mitt Romney is going to try to, you know, go back to the center, I guess, after he gets the nomination, if he does, I think that footage just needs to be played over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we can let him get away with saying that he, or saying, okay, I'm a moderate now.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he was talking about the right of persons to wear hoods. So I thought, you know, well,
I misunderstood.
When in Rome, you know.
That's his third position. After I'm for it, I'm against it. Then he always says, I misunderstood the question. He said that on the Blunt Amendment, didn't he? I'm for it, against it.
Yeah.
Don't know what you mean.
I'm for being against it.
Okay. All right. Frothy, the Santorum on the campaign
when
trail.
When it was tough to say that stuff in the ground is an asset, not a liability, I stood up and said, the science is bogus. I said, this isn't climate science. This is political science.
Sure.
The dangers of carbon dioxide. Tell that to a plant, how dangerous carbon dioxide
you idiot.
Is.
Oh, dear God.
You moron.
You are an idiot.
Yes, we all know.
Yes, you are.
Plants breathe carbon dioxide and they exhale oxygen.
You That's tell it to a bazillion.
It's called a symbiotic relationship.
Oh, boy. He
but
is,
we're adding
right.
much more CO2.
Frothy,
never mind.
We give up. You are the dopiest, most anti-science candidate. Yes, you are. You win. Okay. On Gingrich.
I understand, you know, why he wants to continue. I mean, it's got a lot of ideas, and he certainly brings a lot to the table.
Sure.
But it's just right now what he's doing is out there, you know, attacking me, defying the conservative vote, and giving the as he calls them, the moderate Massachusetts governor, an easier role.
Oh, boy. This is just, it's getting better and better.
Yep.
Rick Santorum, Mike Gingrich again.
They want to elect a conservative nominee for sure. They can do that by lining up behind us and making this race clearly a two-person race.
Mm. Boys, don't fight. You're all equally horrible. So many different ways. Oh, Newt Gingrich, this is his 250 gas plan?
Mm-hmm. The biggest issue this fall is going to be drilling versus algae. It's going to be $2.50 a gallon versus $10 a gallon. It's going to be which future do you want for your children and your country?
We've increased drilling by 350%.
Yeah.
We are drilling more than we ever have before.
Yeah.
It's not because of a lack of drilling.
By the way, you're a dope if you think gas is going to be $2.50 under Newt Gingrich and $10 under Obama.
Yeah.
Seriously?
He hasn't explained how he's going to do that. He's just promising that. That's just an empty promise.
And algae is useful for a lot of things, including food. It's a source of protein. There are billions of people on the planet now. God.
Science is overrated, frankly.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with David Schuster of Current TV on the next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A savage, man-eating jungle cat or a purring, satisfied kitty?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, this just in. Mitt says Santorum won't be number two. It's true. Won't be his VP. Says he's not conservative enough. Yikes. What's
really?
Happened to
Santorum
this?
Santorum is not conservative enough.
No. What has happened to this primary? Only one man to ask.
Countdown contributor David Schuster joins us now from Washington.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, most interesting.
Good morning, Stephanie. You know, this was the first time I've been on since it is official that you are on Current TV. And congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you.
Did you get my love letter yesterday?
I did. I love the love letter. And, you know, I think we're in agreement. We should put in the invoice for the hammock right now.
Yes. We snuggle in the hammock together.
It may take about 3 or 4 weeks for them to file the expenses. But
yes.
Awesome.
Okay. Yes. Well, there's always a little extra sizzle for us when it's primary day, David Schuster. It's just I can feel the electricity from here in Alabama and Mississippi. Can't you?
Well, I can smell the barbecue cooking down there, and not in a good way.
No,
but seriously, this is huge opportunity for Romney. If he can win one or both of these states, then I think that sort of ends things, at least as far as the media narrative that this is somehow competitive. I still don't see any way that Gingrich or Santorum, you know, what they both have to get like 65% or 70% of the remaining delegates in order to go into the convention with enough to possibly get the nomination or be close. And there was the memo of the weekend from Santorum's folks talking about, oh, here's what we can do with an open convention.
Yep.
And they are in fantasy land, especially if Santorum comes in third in Mississippi and Alabama, as it looks like he will today. I mean, Santorum is basically the only thing they can do is they can just sort of continue to make this long and drawn out for Mitt Romney. And certainly that's great for me.
Right.
For the media, we love nothing more than to see Romney continue to get pounded. But this is Romney's nomination.
David, do you think there's any chance of surprises today, though? Because the two polls I looked at, I mean, they're really all three of them in a statistical dead heat in both places, right?
I think the surprise would be, and it could go two ways. I still think there's a very strong anti-Mormon strain, particularly among evangelicals, the far right, and you may see that. So people may tell a pollster, oh, yeah, I'm for Romney, and then they go in the voting booth alone, and they pull the lever for somebody else because of some anti-Mormonism. I think the other thing, though, that often tends to happen is that Romney's organization again, and he sets up these organizations pretty quickly and spends a ton of money in these states, and that tends to give him surges at the end. So he may actually poll a couple of points better on the actual voting than he does in the final polling results, simply because of his organization and the lack of organization for Santorum and Gingrich.
Gingrich obviously contradicted his own spokesperson. I mean, who basically said if he doesn't win today, he's done. But you know, Gingrich again said he's going all the way to Tampa. How do you think that plays out?
I believe Gingrich, just because I think Gingrich is having the time of his life, and he's getting more attention than he probably thought he would ever deserve to get, and he continues to be sort of a national figure, national player in the midst of all of this, even though I don't think he really has much of a legitimate shot at the nomination. And I think Gingrich would love nothing more than to be able to give some sort of primetime speech at the convention and be some sort of power broker, and he's having the time of his life, and this is probably Newt Gingrich's last hurrah. So my sense is he's gonna squeeze as much out of this as possible, both for his speaking fees and his notoriety, and also because obviously Gingrich is having the time of his life, and he doesn't want this to end, even though the people working for him are probably looking up and saying, okay, I won't be able to get another job in Republican politics if I continue to help this crazy man.
Right. do you think he and Santorum do go all the way to the convention, though?
Gingrich does. I think at a certain point, Santorum will probably be approached by party leaders or maybe folks in the Romney campaign and say, look, you've run a great race. You've had, you know, well more than your 15 minutes of fame, a lot better than probably you have expected you would do. And I think at a certain point, Santorum starts to think, okay, if I want to be viable in 2016 or 2020 and make another run at this, he needs to exit at a certain point without being seen as causing too much damage to the party. And I think Santorum's interested in that sort of goodwill. At the end of the day, he doesn't want to be seen as somebody who's responsible for Mitt Romney's loss, whereas Gingrich doesn't care. So I think at a certain point, Santorum drops.
So
I don't think it would necessarily be
tomorrow if he doesn't do well today. But I'd be surprised if St. Farm goes all the way to the convention.
So you are here once again to rain on my brokered convention parade, essentially.
Well, you know what, Stephanie? Just because you want a brokered convention, I'll tell you what. I will look for every reporting evidence and play out the possibility of a brokered convention until, you know, time stops just for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, look, it would be a great story, and it would be a hell of a lot of fun to cover. I just don't see a realistic situation, but who knows? I mean, maybe there's something that happens to Mitt Romney or some crazy stuff that comes out. You never know.
We haven't talked since the whole Rush Limbaugh controversy, but boy, I mean, you just, I mean, in terms of, it almost couldn't be better timing for the president and for Democrats, could it?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, in the eyes of especially a lot of moderates and independents and centrists, people still identify Rush Limbaugh as the de facto spokesman of the Republican Party. And it goes to show, it sort of reinforces this image of Republicans who are extremely sort of harsh and coarse, not only sort of in their treatment of people, but also in the way that they are described. I think it's a problem for the Republicans. And the other thing about it is, I've made my sort of share of, as we all have, of things that I've said on air that perhaps were not the most sort of artful and got me in a little bit of trouble. But this was so far across the line and so
right.
sort of beyond the pale that I think the one thing that I take heart in all of this is that I think now because of the way social media is sort of happening online and the speed with which people can actually sort of take action directly after they hear or see something, the pressure that was put on Rush's advertisers so quickly I just thought was an amazing and inspiring thing. And I think it goes to show that for everybody who's out there, you see a story or something that you don't like, or hear a debate or something, your ability now to influence outcomes is stronger than ever. And that gives me a heart out of all of this.
Well, yeah, except, we've been talking about this, David, and, as you bring up, either you or me or Keith or Bill Maher, whoever, you name it, it can happen to anybody. The one thing I was heartened to find yesterday is that Current will not be broadcasting online. So, Chris, you can't really get those clips. From when we start on Current.
Right.
So when Fox News calls for those, they may not be available.
Oops.
True. Oh, yeah, they're going to have to they're going to have to record your show themselves.
Yep, and watch all 3 hours of it.
Get to work, Newsbusters.
Stephanie, maybe we should go off on Fox News right now just to sort of test the theory about how much work it does require for them.
And, exactly. But, I think what happens, David, you're right, is there an isolated incident where you or me or Keith or somebody said something? You can also say there is a difference when an apology seems sincere. And I don't think anybody thought that apology seemed sincere from Rush Limbaugh. And then he went on to continue attacking her. It was a sustained several-day attack. Go ahead.
And especially if he's only apologizing for what, two words when there were like 51 different instances of him attacking Sondra Fluke. I mean, it was just, I think anybody, most rational people were able to sort of see right through it. And I think even a lot of Republicans sort of were embarrassed by it all and embarrassed by Rush's response.
I think that's the important thing is that, it's not just him. It's the actual policies that they're putting into place in many places, these Republicans. And the fact that you're right, he is the face of the Republican Party. They're terrified of him. I think what was more pathetic, there was a story, a lot of actually Republican and centrist women that are obviously swinging toward the president now, in part because of not just what Rush said, but the Romney and the others' response that was so ridiculously tepid.
Yeah, not only Romney's tepid sort of I found Romney's response to sort of smarmy. It's like if you're going to say, well, those are not the words that I would choose. Oh, yeah? Well, what words would you choose?
What is a good way to call a woman a slut?
Harlot.
Yeah.
Slatter.
Yeah. I mean, that was sort of embarrassing. And I do think that, to the extent that this sort of reminds people and reinforces people of incredibly harsh and I would say crazy position that Republicans have on social issues, particularly, look, we all agree unwanted pregnancies are a problem, right? We all want to stop unwanted pregnancies. The easiest way to stop that is to provide contraception. And, if the government invests in contraception or spends a dollar in investing in contraception or handing out free condoms or whatever it is, you save $10 down the road by preventing unwanted pregnancies. And it's a very simple equation to understand. And I do think that, this is a horrible, horrible position for Republicans to be in as far as the centrists and the independents and particularly women. And I think I just saw the latest polling that among women now, Democrats are up by 18 or 19 points. I mean, that's huge and justifiably so. I mean, you know, I don't know any sort of, you know, independent thinking woman who agrees with the Republican position on contraception.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I love that they're polling in Mississippi and Alabama whether you agree with interracial marriage.
Yeah, in this day.
Really? From the ship has already sailed polling corporation, we wanted to ask you. David Schuster, I will see you in the current hammock, and I look forward to it.
Stephanie, can't wait. And in the meantime, if there's anything that that me or I guess you're working with Jeff Green, who is my field producer for some of the primary coverage, is helping you guys getting up.
That's right.
He's a good guy.
Awesome.
Give him lots of grief for me. But if there's anything that I can do, Stephanie, in the interim, before we have that hammock for the conventions, let me know. I'm always happy to help.
Just let me see those dreamy blue eyes every now and again.
If Al Gore has anything to say about it, it'll be an environmentally sustainable hemp hammock.
Yes. All right, David, see you next week, honey. All right.
Stephanie, take care.
Thanks, honey. Love you. There he goes. Kevin in Phoenix was at Sexy Liberal. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Good, honey.
I want to be your official new fan of your show.
Thank you.
My husband's listened to your show for years and just recently turned me into your show.
Awesome.
And we got to see your Sexy Liberal tour here in Phoenix, and it was amazing.
Aw, thank you.
Had me in stitches.
Thank you.
I want to ask, why is it that the mainstream media never calls these candidates on the carpet when they just finger wag at the president? He's not responsible for the gas prices.
Yeah.
He's not responsible for the unemployment.
Well, yeah, exactly, Kev. We'll get to that. Jim, you made that point the other day that it's the wrong question for the pollster to even ask. Do you blame the president for the gas prices?
Why, yes, I do, now that you mention it.
Now that you've brought it up, yes. All right, we'll be back, actually, with some more of Newt Gingrich's ridiculous thoughts on that and Celebrity Stack as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the.
This is a pretty good Hal impression.
Mm-hmm. 51 minutes after the hour. The real Hal Sparks in tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal, along with Louis Black.
Yes.
Comedian extraordinaire. What a fun day. 1-800-STEPH-12. Michael in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michael.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephanie, you're awesome. Hey, I'm calling about in reference to Sylvester in Chicago.
Yes.
And his Polish tirade.
Yes,
maybe
tirade. I don't know if it was a tirade.
Okay, you're right. I'm just a Polak, too. But I'm an Irish Polak, so I get mad drunk. I can't figure out why. I'm just asking just for a small little favor from you.
Yes.
And can I be the official Stephanie Miller Irish Polak?
We needed one.
I'm one. Irish and German and Polish.
Well, how about Sam?
What's that?
Irish Polak Sam.
All right. I couldn't hear that last word. All right. Let's go to Tim in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
You know, I'm looking at Laura Ingraham's comments, and, you know, it's kind of funny how she's saying that, you know, oh, you can always go to all these clinics and get all the prevention you need. Isn't it kind of funny, though, how they're trying to shut down all those clinics, like Planned Parenthood or anything like that? So really, where are these women supposed to go then?
Yeah, exactly. And particularly where...
Well, according to her, straight to hell!
Okay. All right. Newt Gingrich.
That's starting to make you uncomfortable, isn't it? Because you know eventually...
I have to see her in person.
Okay. I'm not going to no radio conventions.
Yeah, Newt
Gingrich.
These people are ideologically committed to a fantasy land. And if you read the president's energy speeches, he's in cloud cuckoo land.
Oh.
Cloud cuckoo land. That's a Nazi phrase.
Is it really?
Vulcan Kuckucksheim.
Yeah, because it was the name of a Lightning Seeds album.
He tried that one and Energy Cognitive Dissonance. Wow.
And you take his policy on oil, which is drilling never works unless it's a natural gas, and there it's worked brilliantly, but it won't work in oil because it can't.
Yeah.
What
are you talking about?
I concluded that the only way you could explain Barack Obama is a technical term called cognitive dissonance, which is a psychological behavior when what you believe is so powerful that you reject facts that conflict with your belief system.
Wow. And that's a stump speech?
Wow. The U.S. has made significant advances in the years since President Obama outlined an ambitious strategy for improving energy security, Cody.
We're drilling more than we ever have before, and Newt knows that.
These goals include reducing oil imports by one-third over the next decade, expanding oil and gas, natural gas production, promoting clean energy deployment, and funding energy-efficient upgrades. The White House sees solid wins in some sides, in some signs of progress, including a million barrel per day reduction in net oil imports during the last year, along with tightened fuel economy standards for cars and light trucks.
Frankly, I have to use words like cognitive dissonance to make people think I'm smart, frankly, which, frankly, I'm not.
Well, this goes to your point. The progress report touts numbers indicating that domestic oil and natural gas production is enjoying a boom time.
Yeah.
Industry officials and Republicans have countered that the rise in production stems from policies implemented by George W. Bush. But on the other hand, the increase seems to run afoul of separate GOP narrative that Obama has ground production to a halt. So which is it exactly?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're drilling more than we ever before because Obama ground it to a halt thanks to George Bush. I got nothing.
The energy plan, mostly about moving away from oil so as not to be caught in the sometimes unstable global market, White House officials added. Thank you. All right. A Reuters analysis of public disclosure records. Mitt Romney is winning the primary of Washington lobbyists. Of the nearly 390 registered.
That's shocking.
Yes, right? He's the clear favorite. They've contributed more than $1.5 million to clear favorite Romney's campaign and the super PAC supporting him, far more than any other Republican candidate.
That knocks my cashmere socks off.
And Newt Gingrich is a lobbyist, so I guess I didn't even... Well, historian slash lobbyist slash paleontologist.
I'm a cognitive dissonologist.
Something. I don't know.
Whatever.
All right. The Obama administration on Monday blocked a new law in Texas requiring voters to show photo ID before they can cast a ballot, citing a concern it can harm Hispanic voters who lack such documents. Hispanic registered voters are more than twice as likely as non-Hispanic registered voters to lack such ID, said the assistant attorney general. Of course, Rick Perry criticized the decision. It was the second state voter ID law blocked by the Obama administration. South Carolina was before that.
And there was a third one. I can't remember.
Oops. According to the 1965 Voting Rights Act,
yes.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't born yet.
Certain states like Texas must seek approval from the Justice Department or the federal courts for changes made to state voting laws. Nobody believes this is anything other than keeping people from voting Democratic. Several Republican-governed states, I'm sure that's a coincidence, including Texas, Kansas, and Wisconsin, have had adopted stricter new voter ID laws, arguing they're needed to prevent ballot box fraud, none of which has ever been proven anywhere.
Right.
A judge in Wisconsin issued an injunction against that state's laws on law on Monday. Some civil rights groups have said the new laws threaten to suppress minority voters. Do you think? Democrats have also said they're aimed at squeezing out university students, seniors who tend to vote for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Photo ID requirements for voters drastically affect the electoral participation of the poor, the elderly, the transient, which means
Republican votes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. The Justice Department said potential voters in Texas would require two other ID documents to get a certificate allowing them to vote, which could lead them to paying high fees for copies of legal documents such as birth certificates. I had to find mine. It's a total pain in the ass, and it's expensive.
It is.
Additionally, nearly one-third of counties in the states do not have offices where potential voters can obtain a driver's license or state ID, and some residents live more than 100 miles away, according to the...
college students live in cities often where they are not registered to vote.
Right.
And so, yay!
Right.
Good for Republicans.
All right. This story just touched my heart because it just, you know... like home for me. Standing together with her son in unibrow solidarity. Rainier Davis, the mother of SEC Player of the Year, future number one draft pick, Anthony Davis, wore a unibrow mask to Sunday's SEC Championship game in New Orleans. Maybe my mom will wear a unibrow mask and sitting here on my first day on Current.
No. Didn't she try to pluck your unibrow and left bloody holes?
Yes,
yeah.
She did. Thanks for
And similarly,
Liam
Gallagher saying, what's wrong with a unibrow?
All right. Tomorrow, big show, Louis Black, sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Join us then. We'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.